Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Betts with Jeremy Zachas in New South Wales. Ashes. It is underway, and Jeremy's going to help me understand some of this language. What we're looking at here is a match between England and Australia that we've been anticipating for months. And we've been noting the trash-talking, especially from the England side. I now understand the word is sledge. Jeremy, remind me again what sledge means.
Yeah, sledge is an age-old, I guess, English and Australian colloquialism, which means to basically throw mud at or throw shade at the other side. So basically, it's a bit of psychological warfare. We're throwing out insults or we're doing actions that we know look on the surface to be something natural or normal, but we know that the other team understands exactly what we're trying to say. So I guess you could say sledging in cricket in particular might be the way that we hit the ball. You know, we may hit it straight down the line. Or, you know, we may let balls go past to acknowledge that we think that the bowler is actually really, really bad. Or it's just verbal sledging, you know. It's just like when the cricket players are there at stumps, the English side is, you know, taunting the Australians verbally. So there are typically a lot of sledges. The best ones normally are revolving around the English calling us convicts and for us calling the English poms. So that's a very typical sledge you'll see on the cricket field. But Ashes isn't Ashes without the sledging. And that's why, you know, we love watching the Ashes, especially the television broadcast, because you do catch that on a lot of the microphones. It's a fantastic sport. The sledging alone is the sport in itself.
Now we come to the headline that puzzled me. This is from Oliver Brown, chief sports writer of the London Telegraph. Street fighter Ollie Robinson's sledge was beyond pale, but lights much needed Ashes fire. Subhead, England paceman's profane outburst after bowling Usman Khawaja drew criticism from down under, but he has refused to apologize. I guess I understand that. An England paceman, does that mean he's the captain? What is a paceman?
Oh, a paceman is actually a very quick bowler. So you have bowlers who are good spinners, which are basically they can make the ball bounce in unusual ways, kind of like throwing a curveball all the time. You have the ones that can really throw the bounces. So they're the ones that tend to be the ones that, you know, get the ball right at the feet of the batsman. And then you have the paceman. And these are the ones that can get the ball down at blistering speeds towards the cricketer, towards the batsman. And normally they're very, very good at getting out batters that are either very slow at the swing or a little bit uncomfortable with whatever's happening in the game. So a paceman is normally a very, very effective weapon, but they also tend to be quite hot-blooded because you can imagine they're probably the strongest people on the team. And they're also not only strong physically, but the strongest personality. And yes, he did have quite an outburst, which was caught on television. And I mean, the sledging was quite thick and fast, but you know, the Australians, we can take it. And I mean, there was some complaining about it, but you know, this is all part of the psychological fun in Ashes. So I can tell you, John, in the next few days, there'll probably be equally sledging coming out of the Australian side as well.
It is Monday morning for Jeremy in New South Wales. It is Sunday afternoon for me here in New England. It is in the evening of Sunday the 18th in England, and the third day is done. And I believe the headline tells us what has happened now. The Ashes. Stumps, end of day three. England 28-2. England leads by 35 runs. All right, let's do some translating. End of day three. Of how many days? Are there? You told me there was some weather came in.
And that's right, John. They have a maximum of 5 days to get this series done. And in that 5 days, they must have at least four innings. So Australia must bat and bowl two times, and England must bat and bowl two times each. So right now we're at day three. Each side's batted and bowled at least once. England's now batting for their second time. So we're going to at least make that KPI, I guess you could say, because if you don't, at the end of day five, it's declared a draw. And that's one thing you don't want because both sides lose out. So right now, day three, we're at the end of it, but I should point out too, day three wasn't completed in full. We've actually got our first rain delay as well. And this was the big problem with England in that trying to achieve, you know, what you need to do over 5 days. Rain is always a problem. So we've finally seen our first day of rain there in England. And the reality is it's probably going to continue into day four too.
All right, England 28-2. What does that mean? 28-2.
Yes, absolutely, John. That means that England has only got 28 runs for two batsmen out. And now, a run in cricket, you need to really get them at a rate of about five per over at the moment. And an over is six times when the bowler basically bowls six times down towards the batsman before the change ends. And what's actually happened here is England's only got 28 runs in their first two batsmen out, and they only have 10 to get out. So right now, they haven't had a very good start at all, because normally, and if you look at maybe day one with the English side, they were around about 2 for 140. So you can see, John, that already the English side is not doing so well on day three.
And England leads by 35 runs overall. Now, what you've taught me, Jeremy, is that you can score a whole lot of runs. One batsman can score a whole lot of runs, 100, 110 are possible. They boast about it. So a 35-run lead with Australia coming to bat, or is England still batting?
England's still batting, and they'll be batting at least for the next day, or unless they get out, then it could be shorter. But you're right now. England, with only 35 runs leading right now, just put it in perspective, if Australia bats like they did on day two, they could potentially get those 35 runs in about the first seven overs, so within probably about the first maybe 40 minutes of actual play. So right now, England does not have a big lead whatsoever. And this is interesting because England started their first day by playing baseball. They came out absolutely firing. They got over 300 runs on the board very, very quickly. But Australia came out playing very conservatively, so they really, you know, conserved their effort, conserved their energy, and are looking in a pretty good state fitness-wise. And they still managed to get within 35 runs of England. So by playing slow against baseball, Australia shown that they could actually potentially win on the fact that the English may tire them out very quickly, themselves out quickly. And Australia can still play the long game and win. But you know what, John? It's not over. We still have the two more days to go on this first test. So I don't want to jinx anybody here. But, you know, we're quietly confident in Australia, but we are playing the long game. So you know what? Fingers crossed. We'll see how we go.
So if I understand correctly, baseball was what England said they were going to play, which means you bowl very quickly. Everything's done on the hurry up. You bat quickly. You hit at everything. That is meant to disorient the opposition with lots of frantic activity. The Australian answer was not to play baseball, as there was speculation they would baseball to baseball, was to play traditionally in a slow pace, because Australia believes that the England team will tire now, day three, or day four, or day five. What is an expectation? And does this mean that Australia can play baseball if it wants to? It's just chosen this strategy to tire England.
That's exactly right, John. They're expecting England to tire now on day three and four and up to day five. And they're expecting it probably across the entire test series. But what I have a suspicion will happen is that as England tires, as we get to maybe the second and third test, so the second and third lot of 5 days series, we'll probably see Australia bring out a version of baseball of their own, basically to drive the nail into the coffin later in the series. So right now they're basically playing conservative. They're doing very well still. They're conserving their energy. But I have a very sneaking suspicion based on the lineup on the Australian side, the quick players, the strong, the younger players they've chosen, that I reckon in about the third or fourth test, so in about 2 weeks from now, we could be talking about an Australian version of baseball. And I think they're going to bring it out late because they know the English bring out their version of baseball early and maybe using it too soon. So I think, John, this is really a very, very strategic and very interesting Ashes where we're seeing a mix of conservative and baseball. And the English side will now need to prove that they can play a conservative game still, even though in all the lead up to Ashes, almost all the international games the cricketers have played on the English side have been about baseball. So this is an exciting test. I mean, we'll wait and see whose strategy wins, but I wouldn't rule out an Australian baseball version at some point in the next couple of weeks. But let's see how this first one goes. That'll tell us.
Do they play it at different venues the way they did in Australia? They move from day to day around England?
They do. In fact, they play the 5 days test in one location, but then they'll move, and 2 days later they'll start the next 5 day test in another location. And that does have a big disrupting effect in the team as well, because the pitches are all different, that the size of the fields are all different, that it's just the length of the grass even can make a big difference in cricket as to how you're going to play, how you're going to bowl, and even how you're going to field. So that's what makes it exciting. So, the English know their grounds better than the Australians, but the Australian team does have people that go ahead and survey the ground. So they're probably already figuring out a strategy whether one ground's going to be better for baseball, one's better for a conservative slow style. But either way, it'll make for some very, very exciting cricket.
Jeremy Zachas, New South Wales. England leads by 35 runs, which is a tie right now, day three. This is the Friends Fister Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This is Sophia Bush from Work in Progress with Sophia Bush. And now a quick break from our sponsor, Miracle-Gro. Life is digitally distracted and time-starved, but gardening is the perfect way to unplug. It isn't just about plants. It's about trading the digital noise for a quiet way to reconnect with yourself. Whether you're in an apartment or you've never even touched a shovel, don't let self-doubt stop you. With 75 years of expertise, Miracle-Gro takes the stress out of the process and makes it pure joy. Head to MiracleGrow.com to check out all of their easy-to-use products and start your growth journey today.